Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have Sarah Taylor, who is the author of the book Vegan in 30 Days, which is a book helping people get healthy and save the world. So we're going to talk in this first segment. Sarah's going to share with us some of the key environmental and health benefits of going vegan so that folks who are considering it can kind of open their minds up to possibilities and help make a decision on their own and whether that's the path that they want to go. So welcome, Sarah. Are you there?
Sure am.
Good. Hi. So, welcome. I wanted to start talk about just preliminaries and just defining what a vegan is for folks who may not know that.
Yeah, I'd be happy. There are a lot of different definitions of vegan, to be honest. The way I define vegan is somebody who does not eat animals or really any sentient beings or anything that comes from them, any products that come from them. So a vegetarian is someone who doesn't eat any kind of animal or animal flesh, including, you know, meat, poultry, and fish. But a vegan will not only eat meat, poultry, or fish, but they won't eat anything that comes from them, whether it be dairy or eggs or caviar or honey, you know. So that's how I define vegan, as somebody who does not eat sentient beings or any products that come from them.
Okay, cool. And so tell me a little bit about we talked about having some of the benefits to the environment of going vegan.
To the environment specifically?
Yeah. What are some of the benefits that help the environment for going vegan?
Yeah. But there are like three main reasons to go vegan, and the environment is one of them. I'm going to say four main reasons.
Okay.
The big four reasons are health benefits, animal welfare benefits, environmental benefits, and I also add in spiritual benefits as well. But environment is definitely one of those issues, and many people don't realize, and I had no idea. Honestly, I always hate to admit this, but when I went vegan 11 years ago, I honestly didn't care about the environment, and I really thought that people were making a whole lot of, you know, hoo-ha about nothing. But in fact, you know, as we're finding out with global warming and everything, our environment is really in danger. And one of the biggest ways that it's in danger is because of the factory farming processes. And factory farming is basically, it's basically farming that's been turned into factories, you know. So, you know, dairy farms that have, you know, 18,000 cows on one farm, that's called a factory farm. And they're extremely bad for the environment. Whether it's raising cattle or raising dairy cows, there's an incredible amount of manure that seeps into the land and seeps into our water. There are issues with, you know, pollution of the environment where hog waste, you know, they call them lagoons. That's where all the urine and feces is supposed to be kept. You know, people that live around there, they can't sell their houses because the air stench is so bad that nobody will live there. You know, there's a host of issues. You know, one other issue that many people don't realize is that 60 billion chickens are raised for food and eggs every year. 60 billion. I mean, that's a huge number. And so what's happening down, you know, the Amazon and across the world, really, is they're cutting down acres and acres of land every minute to raise grain, and then the grain goes to feed the chickens so that we can eat the chickens and eat their eggs. So, you know, as we all know, trees provide all kinds of nutrients for our air and everything else. But if we don't have any trees, because we're cutting them all down to feed chickens so we can eat chickens, I mean, the environmental issues go on and on and on.
Because when I've talked to ranchers, they've told me that there's a responsible way of ranching so that it doesn't have those kind of ill consequences. I mean, they're not factory farms, but they're smaller farms. Do you still have issues with that?
Well, that's a good question. I think that smaller farms can be better for the environment, but there's no way to get around the issues because, you know, if you're going to be raising animals for food, animals, you know, especially cows, they take a toll on the land. You know, they wreck the soil and their manure goes everywhere. And I know it sounds very trite. It doesn't sound like a big deal. Well, what's wrong with it? You know, some piles of manure. But in fact, they really do get into the land. They do affect our water. And, you know, like I said, small farms will be better than these huge factory farms, but they still have an impact on the land. And so, you know, we're raising so much cattle for dairy and for meat that it's just really unsustainable for our environment. You know, a little known fact, and I may have the exact numbers wrong, but it's something like this. The factory farming effects, the carbon footprint of factory farming is worse than all forms of transportation combined, including air travel. You know, we know that airplanes are supposed to have a huge impact on our carbon footprint. Well, factory farming is worse than all types of travel combined. And they say that it was actually in a Chicago, University of Chicago article that was published where they ran some numbers and they said that a person who is driving a Hummus but eats a vegan diet has a better impact on the environment than a person who eats a meat-based diet but drives a Prius.
I'd like to see that research. I mean, I wonder whether that factors in all of the travel that it takes to ship all these products from all over the place also, because oftentimes people don't buy local. So if you buy local, you buy smaller farms. I think that's mitigating some of the factors that you're talking about, but maybe not eliminating. I bet I could talk to some ranchers who would disagree with you, but that's not what we're here for. So let's talk about health reasons. What are some of the health reasons?
Well, there are a host of health reasons. I mean, a lot of people think that, well, we need meat for its protein. We need dairy for its calcium. And indeed, meat does have protein. Dairy does have calcium. But what you also get with those things, so you get your protein, let's say in a steak or a chicken breast, and you do get your protein, but you also get piles of cholesterol. In most cases, you get piles of fat as well. You don't get nutrients. You don't get fiber. You know, you don't get any water or vitamins or minerals. So you do get the protein, but if you would get your protein from beans or tofu instead, you would not get the fat, you would not get the cholesterol, but instead you would get your protein wrapped up with fiber and possibly vitamins and minerals, depending on where you're getting it from, you know, lots of water. And so it just makes more sense for the human body not to be getting our you know, protein and calcium from meat and dairy, where you're also getting all the fat and cholesterol that we know is linked to heart disease. We know it's linked to strokes. You know, we know it's linked to diabetes and a host of other problems. But to get them instead from the plant world, which does have sufficient nutrients for everything that we need.
Okay, cool. And so one of the reasons that you went initially was for to lose weight. And as I was reading about other people's experience, a lot of people do lose weight because of probably the fat and the cholesterol and stuff. What do you have a sense of? I mean, is this an effective weight loss tool as well? Weight loss method?
Yeah. In fact, it's funny. I laugh when I tell this story because I'm so different now from who I was 11 years ago when I went vegan. But I went vegan very accidentally. My husband and I had just been married for about a year, and we put on a good 10 pounds each. And he doesn't admit that, but it's true. and so we both put on some weight, and it was really bothering me. And I went to the bookstore quite in a hurry, thinking that I really needed a good diet book to help me lose some weight. And since I was in a hurry, I just grabbed a book thinking that, oh, I've heard of this before. It must be an oldie but goodie diet book. And it was called Diet for a New America by John Robbins. And he's the son of the Baskin and Robbins empire. And that book had nothing to do with how to lose weight. But it talked about how our food affects our food, you know, farming methods, as we just talked about, affect the environment. It talked about how animals are treated in the factory farms and how they're slaughtered. And also talked about some health benefits of eating meat and eating non-meat diets and how they're different. And when I read that, I was, quite honestly, I was looking to lose weight, but I was so shocked specifically by what was happening in the factory farms with the animals and how they were being slaughtered that, you know, if anyone, anybody who has a sense of humanity that really opens their mind enough to see those pictures and read about them, and the reason why I like that book is he actually quotes out of the dairy and meat industry journals themselves. So he quotes the industry to kind of condemn them. They condemn themselves. And that's what makes it really compelling to me. And so I actually ended up going vegan very accidentally for animal rights reasons. And in the meantime, I lost 10 pounds, like, within a month. It's an incredibly effective way to lose weight. People are shocked at how much weight they can lose. Well, you know, I never, ever worry anymore about counting carb grams or, you know, worrying about calories or portions. I never even think about it anymore, and it's so freeing. Yet I maintain a thin weight. It just becomes effortless.
Yeah, there was actually, when in doing research for the show, there was a YouTube video with Clinton, who I have to admit looks fabulous. He lost like 24 pounds, and he was talking about the virtues of going vegan. So you have another supporter there.
Yeah, he's actually made quite a lot of waves by going vegan. I think he's not one of the people you would expect.
Yeah.
But it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so tell me about the ant. We're going to talk about the spiritual reasons. So tell me about the ant. You said there are four different benefits, and you said health, animal, environmental, and spiritual. So tell me a little bit about the animal benefits before we close
up. You know, this is such a big topic, just like environment is, that I really mm-hmm. can't give it justice at all. But, and I won't try to gross people out just by descriptions. But what I will say is that what the animals go through in the chicken farms, in the dairy farms, in the egg-laying hen farms, you know, and the cattle. I mean, it's absolutely horrific. You know, just one little example I'll give you is that the chickens, even in free-range and cage-free systems, even if you know, 95% of the eggs, the hens in the egg-laying farms are not in free-range systems or cage-free systems. But even in the cage-free and free-range systems, the hens are packed together so tightly. I mean, imagine living your whole life in an elevator with 10 other people, and you're totally packed together. Mm-hmm. Nobody has a chance to lie down or spread out. You don't feel the sun on your head or, you know, the wind through your hair. None of that. It's totally artificial. And these birds basically go crazy, and they start pecking at each other. And they start pecking each other so violently that they will actually cannibalize each other.
And oh, God, that's awful.
Yeah. I mean, veterinary journals, they talk about this, and they say it's up to 18%, even in free-range systems, of hens that cannibalize each other. You know, and that's how bad these systems are. They don't do that in nature when they have plenty of room to walk around and peck the ground and, you know, feel the wind through their feathers. But that's just one of countless issues with the way that they raise these birds. It's just really sad.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Sarah Taylor, owner of The Vegan Next Door. Don't go anywhere, because in the next segment, we're going to be getting some eating tips for people who have gone vegan and want to get some tips on cheese and chocolate and what to do during Valentine's Day. Remember, if you want to create a happier you and a happier planet, then go to Fire It Up with CJ page on Facebook and friend the show. Seattle folks, make sure to treat yourself to Sarah's class at East West Bookshop. You can find out about that by going to eastwestbookshop.com, and the class is on February 23rd. Lots of gratitude to everyone out there. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Are you looking for that special gift that will uplift, inspire, and give a heart a voice to express itself? Let our 365 messages of gratitude box diffused in English and French connect you daily with the essence of gratitude. Open daily a message of gratitude and gracefully move through your day. Offer this gift of gratitude to a hostess, a teacher, a mentor, an elder, or anyone who inspires you to feel gratitude. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com. That's explorationgratitude.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Stieck Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to the Fired Up with CJ show. Today, we have Sarah Taylor, author of the book Vegan in 30 Days, and she is going to be helping us out for our Valentine's Day and telling us what we should do about chocolate, because if you're a vegan, of course, a lot of chocolates have dairy products in them. So, Sarah, what should we do? What do we do if we actually want to have a yummy dessert? What are some ideas?
That's a great question. So many people think that chocolate's not vegan, and in fact, a lot of chocolate is not vegan, but a lot of it is. And The general rule of thumb is that no chocolate obviously has milk in it, so that's not going to be vegan. White chocolate has butter fat in it, a lot of butter fat, so that's not vegan. But dark chocolate is often vegan. And you know how when you go to buy dark chocolate, sometimes it'll say like 65% cacao, 75% cacao.
Yep.
The higher the number, generally above 75%, it's usually vegan. So just check the ingredient list, and when you see the words cocoa butter, know that that's not from an animal. So cocoa butter is still vegan. And so most dark chocolate is vegan, and there's a lot of great chocolatiers out that specialize in vegan chocolate. But I will tell you one of my favorites that I just love. Good chocolate, vegan chocolate, and also chocolate for a cause. And it's called RescueChocolate.com.
Oh,
and,
cool.
I have no ties to this business. I've never met the owner or anything like that. But a friend has pointed it out to me. And the neat thing about it is that they sell chocolate and the money goes to rescue dogs. So they'll have Bow Wow bonbons and peanut butter pit bull and things like that. So you know that, you know, if you buy some peanut butter pit bull, then it's going to go help pit bull rescues.
Oh, that's cute. I love that. So what else do you do for desserts? Because so many, when you look at desserts, there's so much butter and cream and all that stuff. What are some yummy dessert ideas that you have for folks out there?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I'm not much of a baker. I love my sweets, but I do try to stay away from them just for health reasons. But I'll tell you that being someone who doesn't like to cook very much or bake very often, mm-hmm. I love to go to Whole Foods or some of these specialty stores, because they'll have literally, like, I know Whole Foods has a chocolate mousse cake where I live that's so good that I have had friends that are not vegan at all beg me to drive up to Seattle, which is an hour each way, and they beg me to drive up there and get a cake for, you know, our tennis party or something like that, because it's literally that good. You know, they've got chickpeas that you would never know don't have animal products in them. So I would start with some of the specialty bakeries, you know, at Whole Foods types of stores or natural food stores. And there's also a host of great recipes on the internet now, really good cake recipes and truffles and all kinds of things. And, you know, cheesecakes and carrot cakes that I swear to God, you'll never know that they're not filled with animal products. Really good stuff.
What are they? What are they made out of then? If not animal, are they made out of almond milk, or what is it? Or coconut milk, or what are they made out of? These cheese.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll tell you what. Now my caveat here is that just like regular sweets that come with animal products, vegan sweets aren't necessarily healthy. They're very rarely healthy, because often what they'll do is they'll take out the butter and they'll put in vegan butter, or margarine. Margarine's vegan, so. Not healthy. Margarine's not healthy. Now, Whole Foods won't do that. Whole Foods won't use any trans fats, so they don't use margarine, but they may, I don't know exactly what they're using, I can't remember, but, you know, a lot of places will substitute out butter for margarine, and sugar is sugar, and that's vegan too. So, you know, people will just throw a lot of sugar into a product, and it tastes sweet, and you love it, and you don't realize that it's still really unhealthy. So... Mm. Yeah, in place of eggs, there's something called Energy Egg Replacer that, you know, helps to bind cakes and cookies and things, so that can be used. Huh. And the healthier vegan treats that really do try to stay away from margarines and too much sugars, they might use, like, dates instead of, you know, sugar. You know, bananas, applesauce, things like that, to make it still somewhat sweet but vegan. And so if you've ever had, like, a vegan cookie and you thought, ooh, this is gross, it's probably because you're expecting something sweet with lots of sugar and butter, which there are vegan options for that will taste very much like actually identical to the real thing. But then the healthier ones, of course, don't taste quite the same. But when your taste buds get used to it, they're great, too. Really good.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a big fan of Whole Foods. It's right around the corner for me. So your friends can come by, or maybe I'll ship them the mousse cake. But anyways,
yeah.
The eggs, you mentioned Energy Egg Replacer. So is that something you would get in the egg area in Whole Foods, or where do you get this? And is that a substitute for eggs generally, or just for cooking?
It's a substitute for baking. So the brand is Energy. It's ENER and then capital G, Energy Egg Replacer. It comes in a box, and it's like a powder. Kind of like baking soda in a way when you take it out. And so when you have a vegan recipe for cake, instead of putting two eggs in, it might call for 2 tablespoons of egg replacer. And you can use the Energy Egg Replacer instead. So that works well as a binder. But interestingly, I've also found that, like I like to go to Trader Joe's and get some of their pre-made, you know, cake batters and things, like for pumpkin cake or pumpkin bread or, you know, gingerbread, that type of thing. My husband loves those. And they'll call for butter or oil, and just use oil because oil will be vegan. But oil is not really healthy either. It's 100% fat, no matter how you slice it, whether it's olive oil or any other kind of oil, it's all fat. Mm-hmm. And so I try to stay away from oil too. And I have found that I can literally take one of those, you know, pumpkin bread box mixes and literally just put water in with no oil and no egg replacer, and it comes out just fine. Totally shocks me, because the oil would be like, you know, a third or a half a cup of oil, which is quite a lot. So you think you'd need something in there. But I can actually just leave it out completely, and it tastes great.
Yeah, I often, just because I'm very health conscious too, I'll actually use like a half of what they offer, or a quarter of it, and it usually does taste just fine. It makes you wonder, you know, why do you have it in there at all if it tastes fine with it?
I know, I agree.
So cheese, eggs, cheese, what else should people do if they go vegan and they want, what are some of your favorite products and or substitutes for cheese and eggs?
Yeah, okay, I'd love to talk about cheese, because that's one of the questions I get most often. How do you survive without cheese? And I'll give you a couple of different answers here. First thing is, I'll tell you about some alternative products to regular cow's cheese. When I first went vegan, there was nothing. I mean, there was a few brands of soy cheese, but soy cheese usually isn't vegan because they'll put casein in it as a binder, and casein is an animal protein that's really shown to be carcinogenic. So remember that soy cheese is very rarely vegan. Any vegan cheeses I did find were just disgusting. But in the past few years, there's a brand that came out called Daiya, D-A-I-Y-A.
Wait, say that again?
It's called Daiya, D-A-I-Y-A.
Okay, got it.
And Daiya cheese is so good. I mean, I make grilled cheese sandwiches out of it on occasion, and they taste just like the real thing. I mean,
wow.
I add cheese in the middle. I put Earth Balance on the outsides when I grill it. Earth Balance is like a vegan version of a butter that's a healthier version. And literally, you can't tell. I mean, it's really, really good. So there's a great substitute now for cheese. The other thing I will say, though, about cheese is that people really think, like, they feel overwhelmed at the idea of going vegan because they think, I could never give up cheese. I could never give up milk chocolate. Whatever it is, they have these things they feel like they could really never give up. But there's what I call the vegan secret. And the vegan secret is this. If you take all animal products out of your diet for 30 days, and also try to minimize, you know, a lot of salt and sugars and things. Like, you don't want to just drink Coke and French fries for 30 days. But, yeah, just take all the animal products out and go light on the salts and the oils and the sugars. After 30 days, probably quite a ways before then, probably after, like, 2 weeks, but certainly by 30 days, your taste buds will completely cleanse out. And foods that used to just taste okay to you when you were eating a meat-based diet, for me, that was like apples. Like, yeah, apples are okay. We come from Washington. I eat apples. All right, they're fine. But once I cleanse my palate out, apples explode on my tongue. Corn, oh, my gosh, you know, incredible. I love corn. So like I said, you know, foods that used to just be okay become really, really good. And you start to want them and crave them. And actually, you will start to prefer them. And so I have found, especially, you know, in the past year, I've really tried to get sugar out of my diet because you can still eat a pretty cruddy vegan diet if you're eating lots of, you know, vegan baked goods and things. So I've been trying really hard to eat a much healthier diet. And I find now that I really prefer to eat, you know, for dessert, like a piece of whole grain toast with almond butter and banana sliced on top. That tastes better to me now than a really sugary piece of cake.
Yeah, you know, I actually went vegan for about a month, and I then had, I don't know what I was thinking of, because they tell you if you're going to go the other direction to be careful, and I had, like, no sugar, no fat, and then I had a piece of coconut cream pie, and I ended up getting sick from eating this. I mean,
yeah.
I felt nauseous the whole time, so I think that the vegan promise is a promise. It's true. So for folks out there, a happy Valentine's Day to you, and now we actually have some good ideas. I didn't realize 75, I'm eating vegan chocolate already. I'm so proud of myself. So folks out there, if you want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then find us on Fired Up with CJ fan page on Facebook. Like us to get information on the shows that will help you make a leap into a brand new you. Make sure to tune in next Thursday as we talk to Ainsley McLeod. And next segment, we're going to be talking about surviving as a vegan. We'll be right back.
Dr. Pat, and I want to share something amazing with you. If you're sick of information and ready for an extreme transformation, then check out world-renowned energy healer Ann Taylor at FasterQuickerBetter.com. She's been creating miracles in tens of thousands of people's lives for over 16 years, and I'm one of those people. You too can easily do the same by simply listening to her recordings. If you want to miraculously eliminate fears, worries, and negative beliefs, then you owe it to yourself to purchase her amazing package, which includes over 50 pieces of healing work. Thanks to Ann's 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Hurry over to FasterBetterQuicker.com and finally experience the quantum leap in consciousness that you truly deserve.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And today we have Sarah Taylor, who's the author of the book Vegan in 30 Days. And she was sharing with us previously some wonderful Valentine's Day tips and what to do with eggs and cheese. And this segment is really going to be about, you know, how you actually live a vegan lifestyle, because oftentimes it's a challenge because not everyone out there is vegan. For us. So welcome back, Sarah Taylor.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I wanted to, and I actually also today I have Sean who is here, and what I did is for research on the show, I was doing research on veganism and saw a clip with Clinton that I mentioned earlier and how he lost 24 pounds. And then there's a large chain of people that responded in Google Plus, and one of them was Sean, who grew up in a ranch in Northern California, where he was killing, butchering, and eating cows, pigs, chickens, and goats. And he was pretty much an adamant carnivore. And then, is that right, Sean? Is that how, and welcome, Sean, by the way. Is that a fair
Hello,
way
welcome.
To depict?
Yep.
So you're an adamant carnivore. And then you went and took an environmental ethics class, and it turned you around. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what turned you around and, you know, quickly the process that you used in deciding to become vegan.
Absolutely. So going into this class, I just took it as an opportunity to sort of self-examine what are my premises, why is this really okay to do, and as I went through each one of them, I discovered I really couldn't justify, you know, killing an animal. What if it's raised humanely? Well, okay, what does that make a difference as far as the end result of actually killing the animal? And after a few weeks of just hardcore examining everything, I realized I couldn't actually justify morally, ethically, eating meat. Like Sarah, there was the environmental issue. It didn't even come up for me until later, but now I'm very adamant, as she is, about that whole side of things. But initially, it was just, is this okay?
Yeah, and so it sounds like you had sent me an email with a long list of questions that you had.
Right.
But if you were to talk to someone who's really adamant, like, you know, because I was actually, when I was looking online, there are a lot of, like, there's a lot of disparaging remarks for vegetarians. I mean, people, it's a heated debate, honestly. It's as heated, I think, then as abortion or anything like that, because it's heated, right, about whether the life of a sentient being. But what would be the thing that you would say was the critical factor that you would, what would be the thing that you would have said to yourself at that time? The one, like, killer phrase to say, like, you know what, here's the one thing. What would it be?
Well, there's a really effective campaign out right now on this exact issue, and I would have brought that back to myself and asked myself, why is it okay to kill and eat cows, kill and eat pigs, but not cats and not dogs. What's the difference between these two? And that would have really brought it home for me, I think.
Interesting. Sarah, how about you? When you've talked to other people, what have they said are kind of their primary reasons for making the switch?
Well, it really depends on the person. You know, for some people, it is their own health. They got diagnosed with cancer. For some people, it's the animals. But I think that Sean brings up some really good points. And I think they're actually somewhat tied into spirituality. You know, if you look at a cow, for example, or a chicken or a pig, and you call that dinner, you know, how is that different from a dog? Or how is that different from a cat? How is that different from a horse? You know, it's just at some point, you know, if you have the courage to be open-minded, you have to ask yourself, why would I eat a pig but not eat my dog? And I know that sounds trite, but it's true. You know, it's an animal. It's a being that was put on this planet. What was that purpose? And is it my role to kill? Even Sean, you put this really well in an email. You said people say, well, what if it's slaughtered humanely? Well, slaughtering and humanely are on two opposite sides of the fence. I don't care if you slaughter it in a way that it doesn't hurt. It's not humane to take the life of another creature. So I think that really hits a lot of people, and I think that's probably the number one reason I hear, whether it's worded that way or not, that people go vegan. They just realize how horrible the situation is and how these animals are getting killed, and they say, that's not my place to do that. I don't want to be a part of that, and I don't want to support that.
Well, then how would you argue with the folks who say, hey, you know, we were designed to be carnivore, you know, we're omnivores, we're designed to actually both eat meat and plants. Are you saying that I'm evil or bad because I like to eat animals? I mean, is it because because what I'm hearing you make is a moral argument saying, you know what, that's immoral to do that. Is that what you're saying or something different?
Well, that's where I stand. I'm not saying that everybody stands there, and I didn't always stand there. You know, I wasn't vegan my whole life, so there was a many years, most of my life, I have eaten fish and poultry and meat. So it's just that when I actually looked at it and I faced the situation, and like I said, it's not just a matter of eating the animals, but it's also a matter of knowing how they got to your plate, and that's what most people don't want to face. They don't want to actually look at the video and see how the animals are getting to their plate, because it's really, really bad. I mean, I mentioned how the chickens cannibalize each other because their situation is so psychologically disturbing that they start to go crazy, you know. People don't want to see that. They don't want to see videos of chickens pecking each other to death and eating each other. They don't want to see pictures of cows who have mastitis that's, you know, made their udders so inflamed that their udders are literally hanging down and touching the floor. You know, people don't want to look at that. They just want to be able to eat their cheese pizza and not have to face that. They want to pretend it's not there. And I
Sean, a question for you, since you were talking about ranches and how animals are raised. Is that how animals are raised on your ranch? Is that what you've seen? Is that part of your equation too?
Well, I had the benefit of having a father who is a large animal vet working for the university, so I actually got to see both sides of that equation growing up. On my farm, no, they were growing up, I perceived them to be well-treated, they're well-cared for, they weren't abused, they died in a, per set quotes, humane way. But I also got to see the factory farms, and I saw how those worked, and it, just as Sarah says, it is really just horrifyingly awful. You really have to have a part of yourself die to even go into that place, let alone work there.
And if you actually look at the amount of our food that is actually farmed in the humane, I mean, even if I know that you have arguments with whether it's humane or not, I mean, I assume that most of, like, 99% of the food is actually from these factory farms. So when you go to your grocery store, most likely it's going through a factory farm. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. Those are the numbers that I'm looking at. I wanted to, really quick, the idea you brought up, CJ, of we're physiologically disposed to being omnivores, and sort of taking that out of being a moral question. When that's brought up, I actually question why that isn't a moral decision. We're capable of doing it, but we don't have to do it. Therefore, we're deciding to do it. You know, might doesn't make right. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. So I believe it still is a moral issue, even from that perspective.
Well, I think we're designed to be to eat both animals and vegetables. So, you know, why were we designed that way if, in fact, it wasn't through intention of some sort? I mean, I think a lot of people would argue with you in that particular way. I also think about plants as being sentient, too. They've done all sorts of research where someone's actually talking kindly to a plant and it grows more rapidly. Someone takes a match to a plant and the plant actually has some types of panics, you know, a sense of panic. So plants are sentient, too. So, I mean, I know you had said, hey, you know, I don't think that plants are sentient. I think all life is sentient, whether it's plants or animals. But, you know, everyone has different opinions. What do you guys think?
I'd agree with that. And you know what I would add to what Sean said is that, you know, your question is, well, we're designed to be omnivores. And what I would say is that really all animals are designed to be omnivores. You know, I've seen people put a dog who is clear, dogs are clearly carnivores. Dogs mm-hmm. are carnivores and that. But I've seen people put them on a vegan diet and they do fine. It's not their ideal diet. And if you look at our closest relatives, the apes, you find that they eat a plant-based diet all the time unless plants and berries and things are scarce. And then they might get a small rodent or they might start eating some ants or things like that. But in general, their preferred diet is a plant-based diet. So I think that, yes, can we eat meat and dairy? Of course we can. You know, we're doing it now. But it's clearly not the ideal diet because we're getting diabetes and heart disease and cancer and stroke,
exactly.
Which, you know, you don't see that in the plant, in the animal kingdom, you know, out in the
yeah.
wild. You see that with humans. So can we do it? Yes. Is it our ideal diet for us? Absolutely not. I mean, I think that's so clear when you look at the medical research.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, the thing that would, and, you know, and I, as I was thinking about this as well, I mean, I think the point that actually got me was I said, when someone said, well, you know, there's certain animals like foxes and dogs that are designed, and your point is being like, yeah, they're designed to eat meat, but they can eat vegetables too. So, you know, I think that that's kind of a fallacy. But I think that the point that I think that Sean and you are making is that we have consciousness, which is maybe some would argue whether animals and human beings are different, whether we have the same level of consciousness, but we can make conscious choices on whether we want to do that or not. I think that's one of the points that you're making, too. So anyways, interesting discussion, everyone. Folks, if you have an opinion, give us a call, 800-930-2819. And on the next segment, we're going to be taking questions that I got from my Google Circle friends. Sean, thank you so much for being here. Sarah, thank you for your thoughts on this. I want to create a happy you and a happy planet. Then find us on Fire It Up with CJ's fan page on Facebook and like us to get information on shows that will help you make a leap into a brand new you. We'll be right back.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463, or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com. Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
CJ Liu, and you're listening to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio. Today we have Sarah Taylor, who's the author of the book Vegan in 30 Days, and she is a pioneer in sharing with us about going vegan. And as I was reading on the internet, a bunch of people have gone vegan or have tried to go vegan and had some issues with convenience. And so I wanted to talk to Sarah on this segment about how do you make the switch and have it be convenient. So welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I was talking. So here's what Jessica, who I met on Google Plus, said. She said that she had to make the move from being vegan to she made the move from being vegan to vegetarian, despite some feeling seriously good in the ethics of being vegan, but it was too expensive to support her hubby, who eats meat, and her two daughters, who are vegetarian. So she wanted to know your thoughts on affordable options and how do you deal with family members or friends that have made other choices?
Yeah, two different questions. Let me start with the second question first about family members that don't want to eat vegan. The first piece of advice I would give, and this is just my own personal philosophy, but my belief is that, you know, the vegan diet is just such a great diet for health reasons and ethical reasons and everything else. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily right for everyone. And everyone's in a different path on their journey. And because I've chosen to do this doesn't mean that I should force everyone else to do it as well. So I think it's important to honor other people's choices. And in turn, you can ask them to honor your choice as well, so that you respect them for not going vegan and they respect you for going vegan. Mm-hmm. Having said that, then you have some difficulties if you're in the situation that Jessica's talked about where she's vegan but her family's not. So I'll tell you, my mom has done a great job with that because my mom is very close to being vegan. She's probably about 95% of her diet's vegan now, maybe more. And my dad is out. He won't have nothing to do with it. He wants to eat potatoes. So what she's done is she's gotten really creative. You know, first of all, I'll tell you, she hoodwinks my dad a lot. She'll feed him chili, and it will have ground tofu in it, and he thinks it's ground beef, and he doesn't understand. So she's got pretty good at hoodwinking my dad. But there are other times, too, when, like, let's say she's making burritos. She'll make a big burrito, and she'll fill hers with, you know, vegetarian refried beans and rice and lettuce and tomatoes and guacamole and salsa, maybe some vegan sour cream. And then she'll do the same thing for my dad, but add in some ground beef and regular cheese. So you can do it so it's not a huge extra effort. And you can do it so that you're not making, you know, completely different meals for different people in your family. Somebody's getting a steak and you're getting, you know, a stir fry. That does become difficult over time. So the second part of her question was, well, how do you do this affordably? And I always bring up two things. The first thing I bring up is farmers markets. you know, people say that fruits and vegetables can be really expensive, and they can. I understand that. Farmers markets, you'll get inexpensive fruits and vegetables, oftentimes organic. And the second place I love to go to, if you have one near where you live, is Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's has organic produce that's less expensive than conventional produce at the local Safeway that I have at my house. So I try to get almost everything either at farmers markets or Trader Joe's. The third point I'll make about going vegan is that when you're vegan, you know, your diet's basically made up of fruits and vegetables, beans and grains. And you might add some seeds and nuts in there. Well, first of all, at Trader Joe's, you can get nuts really inexpensively. And nuts are not cheap wherever you go, but they're quite inexpensive at Trader Joe's. But also you can get dried beans and grains in the bulk sections at different markets. And when you buy them in bulk, then they become very inexpensive. And so you can actually make the vegan diet very, very inexpensive if you're willing to buy dried beans instead of pre-cooked beans in cans, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways to make it work. There are definitely ways to make it work, even if you're on a budget. And it can be less expensive, far less expensive than eating a meat-based diet, like I said, if you're willing to do things like buy dried grains and beans.
Right. So I guess I was assuming that when she said it was expensive, it's because she had to stock all these foods for her husband and herself and all of this stuff, you know, because she had to kind of stock for the vegan way and the non-vegan way. But I'm not sure. Jessica, if you're out there, give us a call, 800-930-2819. But is your mom, I mean, I assume that she has to stock both for stuff for herself and for, you know, your dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, and I think that's what I mean. It gets expensive, right? I don't know.
It can be, but generally what she does is she cooks the same meal and then she adds meat into his. So she'll add meat into the same burritos on each plate. She'll take a stir fry and she'll cut it in half and put meat in his half after she serves it, you know?
Right.
So basically all she's doing is buying the extra meat and then adding it into whatever she's already cooking.
Right, right. I get it. Okay, yeah. Got it. So how about the other question I had that I didn't have that Brittany had from Google Plus, which she said, hey, you know, what are the staples, like, you know, people like stock their pantry, what are the staples that you would have, that you would suggest for a vegan?
I wish I could give you a photo right now. You know how you can get those glass containers that go on your countertop and you can put flour or rices or things like that in them?
Right, yep.
I have about 10 of those going across my counters. And every one is a different kind of grain. So I've got, of course, the staples like basmati rice and brown rice. But then I have things that you may not have tried if you haven't eaten a vegan diet before. But, you know, you get bored of eating the same thing all the time. So I tried couscous, and I tried quinoa, and I tried pearl barley, and all these different types of grains. And I have them all now in different glass containers across my countertop. Similarly, I went to a place. This is a great tip for those of you on a budget. A website called VitaCost.com. It's VitaCost. And the neat thing about VitaCost is that they have all these different things you can buy, but you can buy like the salt-free beans. You know, like I love the, I think it's by Eden Organics or something. And I don't want to buy a can of beans that's like packed with salt, you know? So I buy these cans of beans, but at VitaCost, they're really inexpensive, and you can ship your whole shipment for $4.95.
Wow, that's yeah. Really cheap.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so about once a year, I'll buy like $200 or $300 in beans and have them all shipped to me for $5. and I just have like this huge supply of beans, you know, garbanzo beans and black beans and kidney beans and, you know, all kinds of beans. And so those are my staples, you know, in addition to the fruits and vegetables that I buy at Trader Joe's and Farmers Market.
I love that. That's great. Okay, so then Raul had asked, what do you do when you're traveling? Because he said, you know, some countries are such, you know, they're very meat-oriented, so he has problems traveling sometimes when he's on the road.
Yeah, I'm actually a great person to ask about that because I have a traveling job, so I travel around the country literally every week. I'm a million-mile flyer on United, so I know how to travel. And my husband and I love to travel abroad, so we've gone to really kind of crazy places, you know, everywhere from whether it's, you know, Thailand or Australia to places like Zimbabwe and Botswana and the Galapagos, you know. So I love to travel, and I have really had very few issues traveling. In the U.S., you will start finding that you simply have to learn how to eat out at restaurants, whether you're in an airport or down the street from your house. You'll learn to, you know, call ahead if you don't want to make a scene and you want to make sure they're going to be able to take care of you, you'll call ahead. Or you can usually just show up and either find something on the menu or make something up off the menu. Say, hey, I want that chicken stir fry without the chicken. Or just, you know, in better restaurants, I just tell the waiter, hey,
tell the chef to make me something vegan, up to him or her what they want to do. And I'll get some of the best entrees that, you know, show up at the table. They'll be like, wow, how'd you get that?
That's amazing. I usually get the eyes rolling.
Yeah.
Like, can you actually do that, but have it eggs-wise? And can you actually, no butter, and can you do, and then they're like, oh my God, who is this woman?
Yeah. And, you know, there are times when I do that, but usually I'm just kind of simple, and so I'll just leave it up to the chef. But the other thing I'll say for people that want to travel abroad, interestingly, the easiest places I have traveled have been third world countries. And I think the reason why is because they're generally poor and they cannot afford to keep poultry and livestock around. They just can't afford the animals and they can't afford to keep them in general. So when you go places like, you know, Zimbabwe, Botswana, I've been to Egypt, you know, a lot of their traditional national dishes, like our national dish is probably a cheeseburger. Well, their national dishes will be, you know, rice and bean dishes, for example, you know, just things that are naturally vegan, hummus and baba ganoush, vegan, pita, vegan, you know, so it becomes very effortless to eat in third world countries, second world countries. The hardest places I've had to eat, interestingly, have been France and Australia. Australians, just because they've literally, I've gone to restaurants where they've said, we don't have anything vegan. I'm like, well, can't you make me a salad? They go, well, we don't have any vegan salad dressings. So if you want to have a salad with no dressing, you're welcome to come on in. I'm like, wow. Okay. And, you know, and in France, the French are so funny. I was in Paris with my husband for a week, and I had this conversation every night at dinner. I'd say, the waiter would come by, oh, look at this. I said, well, do you speak English? Oh, of course I speak the English, you know. And I'd say, oh, good, you know, I eat a vegan diet. And, oh, what is this vegan you speak of? Well, okay, vegetarian. Oh, vegetarian, social, you know. And I'll say, but no cheese and no eggs. And they stop and they look at me and they're like, What do you mean? Do you not eat cheese?
The sacre bleu, c'est pas possible.
It's crazy. And I'm like, just bring me a salad. So it was kind of funny. I have to admit, I didn't have a problem eating in France, but I will say that I ate a salad for pretty much every meal.
Amazing. Thank you. Unfortunately, our time is up. This was so much fun. Thank you so much, Sarah.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Folks, make sure to go and sign up for Sarah's class at the eastwestbookshop.com on February 23rd. And she will be there talking all about this subject. And next week, we're going to be talking to Ainsley McLeod, who will teach us about the soul's journey. So everyone, have a great weekend. Thank you so much, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, CJ.
Okay. Take care, everyone. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.